Penguin Random House Audio presents Under the Eye of Power: How Fear of Secret Societies Shapes American Democracy by Colin Dickey. Read for you by Will Dameron. If we are on the outside, we assume a conspiracy is the perfect working of a scheme. Silent, nameless men with unadorned hearts. A conspiracy is everything that ordinary life is not. It's the inside game, cold, sure, undistracted, forever closed off to us. We are the flawed ones, the innocents, trying to make some rough sense of the daily jostle. Conspirators have a logic and a daring beyond our reach. All conspiracies are the same taut story of men who find coherence in some criminal act. Don DeLillo, Libra. The conspiracy theory of society comes from abandoning God and then asking, who is in his place? Karl Popper, Conjectures and Refutations. Introduction. The Paranoid Republic. The United States was born in paranoia. It has been with this country from the very beginning, shadowing it ever since. From the earliest European settlers to reach this land to the present day, we have mused about secret plots, hidden conspirators, invisible groups that threaten to control us. Puritan theologian Cotton Mather, in his defense of his behavior at the Salem witch trials, warned of a plot of the devil against New England in every branch of it. Never, Mather proclaimed, were more satanical devices used for the unsettling of any people under the sun than the devil's work against his chosen flock. In 1775, President of Yale, Ezra Stiles, reported a story that the American Revolution was part of an elaborate plan by a French pretender to the English throne to draw British troops away from their homeland so as to leave England so defenseless that the pretender with 20,000 troops might land and march all over England, etc., etc., etc. Stiles was skeptical of the theory, but he was not the only one who heard rumors of a conspiracy behind America's independence. Roger Lamb, a sergeant in the British Army, also reported that the American Revolution was organized by the French. The first step taken by France to secure this object was to employ her secret emissaries in spreading dissatisfaction among the British colonists, Lamb wrote in his memoirs after the war's end, and the effects produced by her machinations were precisely such as she had intended and expected. The disposition of the inhabitants of North America began gradually to alter from that warmth of attachment to the mother country which had so particularly characterized them. George Washington, in his farewell address at the end of his presidency, described unity of government as the central pillar of democracy, and that very liberty which you so highly prize, then immediately warned that unnamed foreign and subversive forces would employ many artifices to weaken it, often covertly and insidiously. One of the most enduring narratives that defines the United States is simply this: secret groups are conspiring to pervert the will of the people and the rule of law. The specifics change, but the core narrative remains stubbornly the same. This book is a history of that narrative, where it comes from, how it's evolved through successive generations, and why it remains so powerfully evocative. For many in America, the failed 1964 presidential campaign of Barry Goldwater was their first experience with conspiracy theories bleeding over from the fringes of culture into the mainstream. Goldwater's embrace of far-right anti-communist paranoia and his refusal to distance himself from his most paranoid supporters, instead of just laughing these people off, he told Steve Allen in May 1964, I recognize them as people who are concerned, people who recognize that some things in this government are not going the way they like. Shocked journalists and the intelligentsia. that someone with a real shot at the highest office in the land could make common cause with conspiracy theorists was a sobering wake-up call, and it led, most famously, to historian Richard Hofstadter casting a long view over the history of American democracy, trying to understand where its fringe conspiracists come from. Taking in its anti-Catholics, its anti-Illuminati, its anti-Masons, and grouping them together with the John Birch Society and other 1960s nativist campaigns, Hofstadter's late 1964 essay, The Paranoid Style in American Politics, argued that a certain kind of nativist paranoia is a fundamental component of American democracy. Hofstadter saw this element of America as a perpetual fringe movement. Every so often, as with Goldwater's presidential campaign, the paranoid nativists got perilously close to power, but that didn't change the fact that they existed primarily on the margins and were best constrained by a healthy, sensible middle ground. Hofstadter fretted that in a populistic culture like ours, which seems to lack a responsible elite with political and moral autonomy, democracy was open to being co-opted by the wildest currents of public sentiment for private purposes, where a highly organized, vocal, active, and well-financed minority could create a political climate in which the rational pursuit of our well-being and safety would become impossible. The solution, he argued, was a rational, civic-minded centrism that could moderate and restrain these dangerous excesses. The 2016 election seemed to many a confirmation of Hofstadter's warning of what happens without a sensible middle. A fringe candidate espousing obvious lies and conspiracy theories swept into power while the sensible moderators of American politics were asleep. Donald Trump's embrace of an endless string of conspiracy theories, that Barack Obama was not born in America, that the father of his Republican primary opponent, Ted Cruz, was involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, that Bill Clinton had a hand in the death of Deputy White House Counsel Vince Foster, to name just a few he had espoused before taking office, would have seemed to utterly disqualify him as a serious candidate for the highest office in the land. In the wake of his election, many concluded that his win was a fluke, the result of a series of democratic safeguards breaking down that allowed for the American fringe to erupt into the mainstream, echoing Hofstadter's thesis of American democracy. It was a dispiriting event for many who believed in rational arguments and the truth. As political scientist Paul Musgrave wrote in the Washington Post in the days before Trump's inauguration, conspiracy thinking has been normalized in American politics in a way that almost nobody could have expected a year ago. Months into his tenure, those who'd long assumed that Trump's paranoia was anathema to the office of the presidency were horrified to discover that, in the words of columnist Maureen Dowd, the office has not changed Trump. Trump has changed the office. But Donald Trump was not the first American president to embrace conspiracy theories. Throughout 1774 and 1775, George Washington believed that England was controlled not by George III, but by a secret cabal of ministers fomenting dissent in the colonies. Abraham Lincoln argued that political developments in the 1860s were the work of a slaveocracy, a combine of wealthy enslavers who were perverting the will of the American people from behind closed doors. In 1971, Richard Nixon told his aide Bob Haldeman that Jews are all over the government, further arguing that they were, by nature, disloyal. Even Trump's 2016 rival, Hillary Clinton, seemed to give serious consideration to the theory that the American government is covering up evidence of extraterrestrials. It's not just the presidents. A 2019 survey revealed that 21% of Americans believe that the Illuminati secretly control the world, and 23% believe that the attacks on September 11th were an inside job. In 2021, there were 15% of Americans willing to agree with the statement that the U.S. government, its media, and the financial markets are controlled by a group of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who run a global child sex trafficking operation. That translates to tens of millions of Americans who believe that secret actors are pulling the strings behind world events. If Hofstadter is right, that conspiratorial thinking mainly exists along the edges of democracy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?